your first time listening, welcome. Currently Binging is a television and movie discussion podcast, so we talk all things TV and movies. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcast, you should be able to find us. So without further ado, let's get into this. This is a quickie movie discussion, and we are finally discussing A Wrinkle in Time. I know, finally. If you've been listening, at least for the last month or even the last couple of episodes, then you know that April is my catch-up month, where I'm kind of trying to catch up on some of the movies that have been released that I wanted to discuss. And A Wrinkle in Time is one of them. And so, yeah, just a little background on me and my relationship with A Wrinkle in Time. So A Wrinkle in Time is one of those, the movie is based on a book, and it's one of those books that we had to read in middle school. And I just, for some reason, just could not get into it. I did not want to read it. I was not interested in the story. So when it was announced that this was going to be made into a movie, I honestly was not excited about it, and I had no plans to see it at all. But then we found out that it was going to be directed by Ava DuVernay. And I was like, okay, you know, gotta go out and support, especially after all of the success of Black Panther. And I was like, oh, okay, we gotta just keep it going. But then you guys know, life happened. And so finally, I was able to see it. And even from the trailers, because, you know, I like to be honest, even from the trailers, I just was not that excited to see the movie. Like, nothing about it, to me, made me feel like, oh, I need to see this movie. And part of that is honestly my relationship with the book. I was like, it looks nice. It looks like a cute movie, but it's just not something that I want to see. Like, it didn't pull me into wanting to go to the theater to see this movie. So with that being said, I'm also going to give a little note about me and discussing movies that are targeted to children. So if you've been around for a while, there are very few movies that I've discussed that previously when this was Glam Deets, and even now recently with this being currently Binging, I think I can count on one hand how many movies I have discussed that were solely, that were targeted to children. And the reason for that is I'm one of those people who just, I'm like, it's a kid's movie. I'm not going to be too harsh about it because the target audience is not me. So it's kind of hard to be so critical about a lot of the content when the intended audience, you know, has a younger mind, and things that to an adult are like, why did they do this? A kid will enjoy it more than we would. So usually I don't discuss it, and I just don't give them ratings because I'm not the audience. The few that I have talked about have been those types of movies where the writers are aware that the parents are there. So it's like, yeah, this is targeted towards kids, but hey, we're going to give the adults who had to take these kids to the movie an olive branch. And so it's kind of a little more witty in their jokes where, oh, you laugh at it as an adult and you're like, oh, that was funny. Oh, I got that. So usually if I do discuss a movie that's targeted towards kids, it's one of those types of movies. Now, A Wrinkle in Time is not, this is a kid's movie, but I think that this is for older kids and not necessarily younger kids. And I'm meaning like 7 and younger. I don't think they'll be like interested for 5 seconds, and then their interest is going to go away, and they're going to be upset, and you're going to be upset that you bought them to the movie, and you're just going to be like, why did I even do this to myself? So I don't think that this is for kids under 7, maybe 7-year-olds, but for the most part, I don't think so. Cause I feel like 8 is pushing it. Cause just like the critic reviews and the user reviews, and usually I base my but I love IMDb just because it's like the one source where I can go to if I want to see an actor's work resume view or work background, or if I want to read reviews about a movie, which is especially helpful for Netflix, since, you know, now we watch Netflix through apps and things, and they don't have the actual reviews on there. Whereas when Netflix first initially launched, you can go through and like read the actual reviews because you were doing it all through your computer. So I go to IMDb a lot for actual audience reviews, because I feel like there are a lot of people who take the time to write detailed, legit reviews. Yeah, there are reviews that are just like, why did you even try? But the ones that are really good, I appreciate those. So I'll go there for reviews. And so I say all of that to say that overall, I went into this movie not expecting much, and I left this movie without much, and I'm okay with that. Like, this has not changed my opinion on A Wrinkle in Time, and even having to read the book in middle school, which I was one of those kids who just for some reason was blessed academically, so I could have do stuff and still get good grades. So I didn't even really read this book because I just didn't want to read it. So I didn't read the book. So I still don't really, coming from that aspect, I'm not basing it off of, oh, this happened in a book, why didn't this happen in a movie? And a lot of the reviews are, I think you either like this movie or you don't like this movie. And a lot of the people who don't like this movie are people who read the book. Cause a lot of what I've been seeing is the movie left out so much and blah, 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 blah. And this kind of, I've given my opinion on books that are turned to movies, because a movie, you only have so much time to tell the story. And so I feel like why I love movies, you have to get to the point and tell the story sufficiently and effectively. But in seeing this movie, it for some reason made me think of A Series of Unfortunate Events, because this is one book or series, book series that was first made into a movie, and the movie didn't really work. But then recently, and that movie was with Jim Carrey, like a little bit ago. And then recently they released it as a series, Netflix released it, and it works really well as a series. So I don't know if A Wrinkle in Time is something that probably would work better as a television series, but that's just something to think about. Just because it was a lot of the movie that I just did not understand. And I honestly didn't want to put the effort into trying to understand it. Because I went in knowing and feeling like I would not get much answers, if that makes sense. Okay, so let's just get into the actual discussion of this movie, because this is supposed to be a quickie and I've spent a fair amount of time giving background. So A Wrinkle in Time, it has a 40% Rotten Tomato score, a B cinema score. And yeah, so I mean, 40% is rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, but there are movies that have gotten low Rotten Tomato scores and I've still enjoyed it. But yeah, so I mean, a B cinema score is pretty decent, especially considering the amount of negative reviews, like written reviews I've seen. So there's that. When I didn't see this movie on opening weekend, I saw it a few weeks after, and I honestly was going into the theater not expecting there to be that many people in the theater when I saw it. There were four of us all together, I believe. So there was a mom and their child, and there was an older person. I can't remember if they were male or female. So there were only four of us in there. There weren't any reactions in the movie. I've asked people who have seen the movie what they thought about it, and some people thought it was boring in the beginning and it picked up in the end, or that, no, I think that was about it, that it was like it had a slow start and then it kind of picked up at the end, which is kind of what I felt like. So let's get into who all actually is in this movie. So on the adult end, we have Reese Witherspoon, Mindy Kaling, Oprah. We have Gugu Mbatha-Raw, and we have Chris Pine, who play the parents. And then on the kids' side, we have Storm Reid, Levi Miller, and Derek McCabe. So, I mean, the kids, I'm not that familiar with anything that they have been in. I did look up, because you know sometimes you see some actors, maybe it's just me, you see some of them, you're like, you look so familiar. This bothered me so much while I was watching Marvel's Runaways, because the guy, oh my gosh, I'm like blanking right now, but that's not what this episode is about, but it bothered me for so long. I was like, I've seen you in something and I don't know what it is. And even looking at his IMDb page, I was still like, no, it's not one of these things. I've seen you in something. And I literally had to, Greg Sulkin, who played, oh my gosh, I can't remember his character's name, but I literally had to go watch clips of the one Young and Hungry scene or episode he was in. I was like, it is this is what is bothering me, because I saw a picture of him with facial hair and I was like, for some reason you're in something. And I was like, even Pretty Little Liars, and I went and watched scenes of him in Pretty Little Liars, I'm like, it's not this. It was the Young and Hungry episode. That was a complete sidebar. But yeah, with the kid Levi Miller, who played Calvin, I was like, I've seen you in something, you look so familiar. And I looked at his IMDb. I mean, he's been in Supergirl, an episode of Supergirl, looks like. And he was in the movie Pan. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things. But he's also like one of those, he has one of those faces where he's just like, oh, let's pick a cute little white kid to play, like the cute white kid. He kind of like fits that mold, which is kind of, I feel like how they used him in this was just to be like, oh, the cute. Let's just get into my notes, because I have actual notes and I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's talk about the kids. I mean, I think for what it was, I think everyone did their job. I enjoyed I enjoyed Mindy Kaling's character probably the most out of all of the adults. And Chris Pine, even though we only see Chris Pine in the beginning and in the end, I enjoyed their performances a lot. But not to knock any of the other adult actors, because I feel like everyone did a sufficient enough job or did a good job in portraying their roles. I just, in this movie, I just enjoyed those two characters the most, adult-wise. Kid-wise, it was a little more difficult, because I have this thing about kids and TV shows, and I've talked about it before and we won't get into it here, but Meg's attitude was frustrating. And then what was the kid's name? Charles Wallace, her brother, he was both annoying and adorable at the same time. So I was struggling there. And then Calvin, he was just like, oh, I'm here, I'm cute, and I'm just going, you know, help out where I'm supposed to help out. So it's just like, okay. I mean, the kids were just, they were like, okay. It was a little bit of a struggle. But I think everyone did play their role to the best of their capacity. So, I mean, I really didn't have any complaints about their performances. But as far as the story, I mean, this is a story where a lot of it is confusing, and a lot of the things that happen in the movie, I mean, still to me does not make sense, especially when we get into the villain, who is It, and then he takes over Charles Wallace. And I was like, I got the concept of It, but then once he got into Charles Wallace, I was just like, okay, this went, and I also have a thing with creepy kids, so maybe that's why I was just like, okay, this just went sideways. This is not what I was coming to see. But yeah, to be honest, I never really felt connected to any of the characters enough to care what happened to them. Like when Meg's father was like, we have to leave Charles Wallace because he's evil and we can't take him back with us. I was like, okay, leave him. Like, save yourselves. Like, I did not feel like any connection to any of the characters at all. Meg and Calvin, I mean, they were like the adorable cute, whereas like your aunts and uncles, or like your, I don't know, your mom's, like your two kids and your moms are best friends, and throughout your whole childhood they're like, oh, you guys are going to get married, like just be like cute about it. That's kind of the feeling I got with that whole, their whole little relationship. What else? I felt like a lot of what happened throughout the movie, it felt like points, and a lot of those points weren't really connected for me personally watching it. So to, it kind of also gave me kind of, No Tomorrow, the one that has, it came out a couple of years ago, it's a Disney movie, and it has George Clooney in it. It kind of gave me that feel where it's just like, I could have watched this at home kind of a thing. And I probably would have fell asleep if I watched it at home, like fell asleep on the couch. I just can't fall asleep in a movie theater, which is why I didn't fall asleep. But, I mean, things happen. I don't feel like a lot of the dots were connected. What else? Some of the points that they try to make throughout the movie did feel a little forced, because they were being like, oh, you have to love yourself, and I'm all for like female empowerment, all that. But there was, in the beginning, when Calvin comes, this, I don't know why this bothered me so much in the movie, so much to the point where I had like a physical reaction when this happened. In the beginning, when Calvin goes over to Meg's house and they have dinner, and after dinner in the backyard, and he's like, something like, oh, you have nice hair. And she just is like, don't say that, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I was like, what was the point of this line? This line makes absolutely no sense. It just felt forced and put there for to make some type of unsaid point. Then it came back later in the movie. And even still, I was just like, I still don't feel like we really need it, because, you know, Meg, like, her whole struggle was she needs to love herself and accept herself and blah, blah, blah. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a kids movie. So from a kid's standpoint, I feel like that's all great and dandy. But as an adult watching it, that whole hairline just really stood out to me. Obviously painfully, not painfully, but like it was just an obvious standout, and it kind of took me away from the movie. What else? I mean, other than a slow start and not really feeling like all the dots were connected, and even still leaving the movie and being like, oh, I don't feel like a lot of my questions were answered. I think from a kid's standpoint, like an older kid, if they had to read this book, or if they, even if they didn't have to read the book, I think that they would enjoy it, because even though a lot of the context within the movie just was like, was just there, it is a nice movie to watch. It was very colorful. Some of the scenery was really beautiful to look at, and those were things that I appreciated about it. So when I get into rating this, I mean, I'm not going to, I don't think I've ever really talked about how I rate things, but for the most part, because even looking at like the IMDb reviews, there were a lot of 1 and 2 ratings, and I never really rate anything that low. For me, I do an alpha rating system, so an A, if I'm giving you an A, like, to me, you're a good movie, and I'm going to tell everyone to go see you. Like, I don't care, hands down. If I give you an A+, you're all the way up there, and I rarely give out A+s. I can confidently say I have never given anything an F in my history of discussing movies on the podcast platform. And I personally would never give anything an F. And on a numeric rating scale up to 10, I would never give anything under a 4, just because regardless of everything else that I think about the movie, a lot of people worked on this movie. A lot of effort went into getting, or not even just this, not just speaking about this movie specifically, but speaking in general, a lot of effort went into making the movie. A lot of people worked on the movie, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into it. And I just have an all-out appreciation for it, which is why I have this podcast show, if you will, because I just appreciate that type of thing, and I can respect the amount of work that goes into creating TV shows or movies. So I would never personally rate it that low. So for this movie, also because it's a kids movie, I'm rating it on an adult. Why is that a tongue twister? I'm rating it on an adult scale based on if I think as another adult, if you would enjoy watching this. And I would honestly give this like a C minus. Personally, probably more towards the C minus era. And that's just me personally. I could have waited for this to come out digitally and watched it. And also, I'm slightly biased just because I didn't really enjoy the book. And this is me coming from like a fifth grade standpoint, or what grade was I in? Sixth grade standpoint of having to read the book and not enjoying it and never revisiting it again. So, I mean, I could read it today and be like, oh, this is amazing. It makes so much sense. But just coming from that standpoint, I just don't have the desire to want to read it. And this movie did not give me the desire to want to pick up the book and try to read it again. So yeah, that's where I'm at on the rating scale. At this point, if you've seen the movie, I mean, if you've listened this long, I hope you've seen the movie. Let me know what you thought about it. Did you enjoy the movie? Did you enjoy the characters? Was it everything that you expected? What didn't you like about it? I want to know. Let me know. That's what this is for. This is an open discussion forum. But yeah, the next episode. So a little housekeeping, probably should have did this at the beginning. I am currently in the midst of watching all of the Marvel movies in the MCU. So at this point of time, I'm still at the beginning stages. And I'm going to try to finish it by the end of this week to give it a full week to have up the episode where I just do my MCU mind dump. So at this current moment, I'm still in the works of doing that sort of an episode where I just dump all of my thoughts about all of the Marvel movies in that universe. So look forward to that. I also have some Netflix shows. I'm contemplating on how I want to do it because they're all series. So I don't know if I want to do a Netflix roundup, which is where I'll just talk about a few things that are on Netflix that I've watched, or if I'm going to split them up. One of them is Jessica Jones. And after I write down all my notes on it, then I'll know if I want to do that as a separate episode. But if I don't do it as a separate episode, then I will most likely combine it with a series of unfortunate events, just because I just cannot see my discussion on a series of unfortunate events being, that's a long title. I just cannot see it being its own episode. So and there are still some things on Netflix that I want to watch, so I could possibly combine it and do a roundup with something else. So I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to do that. But I do want to get Jessica Jones up this week. So look forward for multiple episodes this week, because I know I said I was going to upload weekly in April, but last week did not go as planned. So here we are. But yeah, let me know what you thought of A Wrinkle in Time. As always, you can find me on all social media platforms at In Her Glam, InHerGlam. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode.